Good evening, Gordon. My name is Duncan. I have the pleasure of continuing the series on Proverbs, A Journey of Wisdom. I feel a wee bit out of place. Over the last couple of weeks, once we've had some wonderful speakers, Reverends Rob and David. We've had doctors in various fields, PhD students, university lecturers, full-time Christian organisation workers, and now you have me. Very kind. However, to put your minds at ease, last month I was watching University Challenge and I got about four questions right. So, pretty much a 2-1 degree these days. With that in mind, could we pray and trust that God will use this time? Father, thank you for this time together, for an opportunity to open your word and try to glean understanding of what you want to say to us. Would your Spirit give us ears to hear what you want to say through this, and obedience to act in what you want to say to us. In Jesus' name. Lovely. So over the last few weeks, we've discovered that Proverbs provides wisdom and hopes to give us, the reader, a greater understanding on a vast series of different topics and scenarios one might find oneself in. We've covered nice things like friendship, and well, that's really been the only nice thing. As well as common vices like pride, envy, injustice, and laziness, to name just a few. To start, I'd like to take you through an annual voyage of sport, if I may. It starts at the beginning, which is a very good place to start, in Melbourne, Australia. We then venture to Paris in the spring, then on to the green grass of southwest London, before culminating in New York. Anyone follow me? There we go. The Grand Slams of tennis. And as we work through the list of the most successful participants, we come across gentlemen and not so gentlemen. At the top, we have the great Roger Federer, who glides across the court. Nothing seems to faze him. A negative show of emotion from Rog is as rare as a wayward forehand. Next in the line comes his closest rivals, Rafa Nadal and Novak Djokovic. Appearing slightly more feisty than their serene superior, but their aggression is controlled and channeled into improving performance. We travel a little further down the list to find our charismatic Scot, Urandi, who is not afraid of showing emotion. He has, of course, shown he's a sensitive soul, but can often be heard venting his anger at his coach, his poor team, the little yellow tennis balls, anything that gets in his eye line. It often leads to a drop in performance as his negative emotions get the better of him. Yet, he appears to be a relaxed man in this far weekend in comparison to former US player John McEnroe, who took anger to the next level. Maybe for a you cannot be serious. That's the impression. Which one would the book of Proverbs suggest shows wisdom and understanding when it comes to the emotion of anger? Roger, with his seemingly inability to get angry. Rafa or Novak, who use their anger for good. Andy, who despite being a pleasant fellow, has the odd outburst which affects himself and the people around him. Or J-Mac, who seemed to live in a constant state of aggravation. Now, I appreciate that we all come from different experiences of anger in the internet. It may be something that you try to manage, sometimes unsuccessfully. It may be something that you have under control. It may be something that you've felt the brunt of in relationships, which has hurt you. So I come at this as someone relatively unaffected by anger, but understand that it may be a difficult subject for some people. Tim Keller suggests that all emotions are from God, and therefore can only be good. God, after all, hates injustice, corruption, and evil. And sin, hate would be widely regarded as a bad emotion, but when directed at something that is against the nature of God, may be considered right and good. So, if emotions are all good, why do some have negative outcomes? It's when we allow sin to enter into our emotions that they turn bad. The difference between the majority, difference between the majority of human anger and God's anger can be found in James 1, verse 20. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. You see, human anger often comes from a selfish or self-promoting background. Think of the last times that you got angry. Was it because someone belittled you, said something you didn't agree with, lived in a way you found offensive? Human anger too often does not come from the same holy and righteous place as God's anger. And Proverbs tries to guide us in the way to control and utilise any anger within us for peace. Proverbs, as we've covered, is a book on wisdom, a book of great understanding and sense. Its passages guide us in how to live in wisdom, being the Lord Jesus. Our anger too often is stained by sin. God's anger is aimed at sin. Anything that goes against his perfect character, anything that is unjust, unholy, unrighteous. And Jesus, in the very nature of God, has the same attitude. There are examples throughout the Gospels where Jesus is described as angry, and his actions relate to his anger. For example, flipping over the tables in his temple tantrum. But his anger was just. His anger was against people in a position of power, who stopped those who they had authority over receiving an opportunity of experiencing God. Jesus' anger was aimed at bringing creation back closer to where it was intended to be. Our anger often drags it further away. God's anger promotes restoration. Our anger promotes division. God's anger comes from love that knows the best for his children. Our anger comes from a place of brokenness and seeking justice for ourselves when we have no right to be the judge. Anger, if left untamed, can cause the most serious of consequences. Jesus, in Matthew 5, teaches about anger and likens it to murder. If it's not managed, it can have the most horrific consequences. He says, if your anger gets the better of you, and you call someone an idiot or a fool, woe betide you, you face the wrath of the court. If you go one step further and curse them, then you're in danger of the fire of hell. Quite extreme outcomes for losing control of your temper, but Jesus suggests it's something to try and control. In Proverbs, Acts, this happened. A couple passages from Proverbs. Proverbs 14, 29 to 30. Says, people with understanding control their temper. A hot temper shows great foolishness. And then Proverbs 19:11, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. The word control means to the power to influence or direct one's behavior. The book of Proverbs does not have much time for fools, you may have noticed. They give fools quite a hard time in the book. You don't want to be a fool, according to Proverbs. Lack of control of your anger, an outburst shows foolishness. If you want some of the Greek, I'm not a scholar, but it's thumos, which means to alight quickly, it comes up as quick as it goes away. Those people with understanding have a more measured approach. They think, is this worth getting angry? And direct their anger at a more suitable response and avoid being a fool. It is a considered approach which hopefully brings a well thought out reaction. A response edging towards God's justice and righteousness as opposed to human self-promotion. And where does this control come from, you may ask? We had a great day through in Aberfoyle yesterday for the Youth Alpha DLA, which focused on who the Holy Spirit is and what role he plays. One of the videos recounted the fruits of the Spirit, that if we accept Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit too, a gift from God, much better than the Black Friday deal. I often overlook how vast the list of the fruits of the Spirit are. We were asked to discuss in our group which one we would like more of in our lives. And there's not a single one that I couldn't do without God. But through the Spirit, we're offered the fruits of patience and of self-control. Can we control anger by our own human selves? It's difficult, but it's through the Spirit that we can show patience and self-control. According to Proverbs, wisdom isn't just a case of not getting angry. A wise person relies on the Holy Spirit to guide them away from episodes of human anger and outbursts that can damage, to a place where any anger aligns with God's righteous anger and bring justice. James 1:19, the verse before talking about human anger not bringing God's righteousness, suggests that we ought to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. It's an interesting concept in the lead up to election time. I'm not sure if you knew there was an election. Over the last few years, with independence referendum, Brexit, and other divisive decisions, people are adamant on their points being heard. We are all too often slow to listen, and therefore desperately quick to speak. And because we've not taken the time to understand the other person's point of view, that leaves us getting angry far too quickly. I used to be a huge fan of The Apprentice. Any other Apprentice fans? you may have seen it, Little Lord Sugar demands far too much of a group of seemingly hapless business people and fires them one by one based on their lack of business acumen and impossible to manage tasks. As I've watched it over the series, there's been a shift from the editors and producers, I feel. It used to be, well, it still is an hour episode, that 45 minutes would showcase the task and the happenings of that. And within the last 15 minutes, there would be a small debate in which Lord Sugar would point the dreaded thing. However, now, and one of the main reasons I also really watch it, is that half of the episode is a physical task, and the remaining 30 minutes is people shouting at each other. Lord Sugar is no longer the only one pointing fingers. As anger consumes the arguments, it's almost become unwatchable. A perfect example of how society favours the foolish, tender approach to the sensible, controlled method. It's difficult to show control and compassion, but Proverbs suggests it's the way of the wise person that patience is a greater value. Proverbs 16:32 says, "Better to be patient than powerful, better to have self-control than to conquer a city." I wonder, have you ever experienced or witnessed someone getting really angry? Someone that has the patience of a saint, perhaps in a retail setting when someone doesn't give them a receipt or something. The angry person just gets angrier as the patient person remains patient. This verse in Proverbs suggests that there's power in patience. It says it's better than overtaking a city. I'm not sure if anyone here has ever tried to overtake a city, but Proverbs suggests maybe focusing on working on your self-control and patience is a better use of your time. It's a greater thing than power. You can be powerfully patient. You might be in a situation in your life where you would like more power, a greater status at work, a more prominent position in your social group, to stand out more in your team or your club. There is power in patiently waiting for God to make his plan happen. People eventually notice patience. Yes, strive to achieve things, but don't get angry when they don't happen. Trust God's timing and patience. I would like a little bit of audience participation here, if I may. Would you raise your hand if you've ever had children or worked with children? Majority of people here. Please keep your hands raised if you love your children or have done the work with children out of love. Thankfully, most people, that's good. Please keep your hands raised if there has never been a point where the children around you angered, infuriated, or frustrated you. Sad to see my mum and dad's hand have gone down. Although my mum was a primary teacher, and must be my brother, wasn't it? often anger comes from a place of love. And God longs for the best for his children. His creation. Billy Graham said, when God gets angry, it's at sin. It's because he knows the terrible damage it does to us who he loves. Instead of a selfish anger, his is a righteous anger. I read a summary of some research that was done by an American lady called Jane Briggs in the 1960s, who spent some time with the Inuit people. They are people formerly known as Eskimos, but all you look anyway. she discovered she discovered their parenting technique was one without anger or raising their voice. they thought that by doing that, they would have lowered themselves to child's level. Or by screaming at them, go to their room, only taught them to run away. Now, I'm not sure if any of you can think of any power-seeking, influential Eskimos, but they grasped that patience was far superior to domination and power. A patiently spoken word of wisdom overthrows a rebuke of fools and Eskimos. That's my own proverb. I'll say that again if you want. A patiently spoken word of wisdom overthrows a rebuke of fools and Eskimos. It's not really wise, it's just really rephrasing other proverbs. I mentioned earlier about Jesus getting angry, but because it was against God's nature, it was righteous anger. What situations do we find his blood boiling? There is, of course, the time he has a little temple tantrum in the courtyard. That's because that's probably his most famous outburst. In Mark 10, it says he gets angry at his disciples. Was it because Peter had said something stupid again, or the Pharisees were trying to catch him out and they'd had enough of it? Neither on these occasions. It was because the disciples had stopped the children coming to see him and spend time with him. A perfect example of the radicalness of the kingdom of God. His anger was because once again he'd missed the whole point of him being there. He thought that he was to be hanging out with rulers and influencers. Instead, he's hanging out with the kindergarten kids, one of the lowest groups society. His anger was because these people had authority and were stopping those under their authority experiencing freedom they ought to have. He hates injustice. He gets angry with injustice. Proverbs teaches us that anger is okay if controlled and channeled and godly, not leading to foolish acts, not starting fights, but is measured and constructive. What is it that we get angry about? Does it produce harsh words that bring shame and regret? Are we foolish with our anger? Are there relationships that have been broken when human anger has gotten the better of us? Or is your anger well considered and produces positive results? Is our anger fighting injustices? That, like the children, people are not being exposed to life and all its fullness that God offers. Is being challenged to bring fruit situations that God is calling us into, a righteous anger like Jesus in God's words. Ephesians 4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives fruitful to the devil. If our anger is thoughtless, it gives the enemy an opportunity to swoop in and bring destruction. However, on the other hand, church, if our anger is aligned with God's anger, our anger channeled and directed towards the things that matter to God, the devil has no foothold and begins to stumble around us. He has no way in and is reminded of the victory, the cross, and his ultimate destruction. Psalm 30 says, his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. The most significant moment in history was when God's anger was directed at his son, Jesus, for a moment. It was a moment because they had been in an eternal relationship with each other. But for the final moments, as he hung on the cross, God couldn't look at his son. Jesus had made the heartbreaking decision to take the wrath of the Father sooner than he had. His anger lasted a moment at someone who had done nothing to deserve it, so that we might enjoy his favour. People might ask, why does God not let everyone into heaven? Why is there still judgment? If he loved us, he wouldn't show anger towards us. The more unbelievable aspect of it is, despite his anger at our sin, he shows mercy. So that all the shame and regret from our angry outbursts, all the broken relationship brought about by our selfish anger, all the division brought about by lack of our self-control, could be forgiven. The result of this overwhelming love trumps selfishness, thoughtlessness of our anger. God gives us his spirit to be patient in times of affliction, to have self-control when anger starts to overcome us. He's given us hope that relationships affected by anger are repairable. He guides our anger to bring change and justice. I'd like to pray for us. This morning with the youth, we were talking about healing and how, like a soul survivor, they see God when there's a holy wound. That was a phrase coined by one very comfortable holy wound. So just before we share communion, I would just love to allow some time for the Spirit to speak. Just give him some space. Whether that's bringing healing to things brought about by anger, a reminder of forgiveness for shame and regret brought by anger, or just a filling of God's Spirit. So can you stand and I'll pray? Forgive us for the times anger has gotten the better of us. We've acted selfishly and foolishly. We pray in these moments that you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here.